Jesus said to his disciples, "No one can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, or what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the sky. They do not sow or reap. They gather nothing into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more important than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single moment to your lifespan? Why are you anxious about clothes? Learn from the way the wild flowers grow. They do not work or spin, but I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was clothed like one of them. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which grows today and is thrown into the oven tomorrow, will he not much more provide for you, O you of little faith? So do not worry and say, 'What are we to eat?' or 'What are we to drink?' or 'What are we to wear?' All these things the pagans seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you besides. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Sufficient for a day is its own evil." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Let's just do a quick scripture lesson today. An image is a mental composure of someone or something. And as time goes on, we often discover that our image is incorrect. It's not consistent with reality. And that's exactly what happened to the disciples of Jesus. Their image of the Messiah was a powerful political ruler who would come and rout the Romans and restore Israel to the Jews. But Jesus comes and says, "No, love your enemies." And then when he begins to talk to them about the fact that he has to suffer and die, they can't begin to comprehend what he's talking about. And then suddenly the crucifixion. They gave up their lives, their jobs, their families, everything to follow him, and now they're left completely alone. And then came the resurrection. And in light of the resurrection, they began to re-image their image of Jesus. And what emerged was not one image, but a multitude of different images. And the same thing is true in the Gospels. Each of the Gospel authors gives us a different image of Jesus. Why? Because of the audience to which they write and for the purpose. Mark, the earliest of the Gospels, was written in about the year 65. Remember, Mark was a disciple of Peter. He went with Peter to Rome. And Mark gives us the most human Jesus in all four of the Gospels, but also a Jesus who is incredibly frustrated. He can't get his disciples to understand anything he tells them. By the time he gets to the agony in the garden, Mark's Jesus is utterly broken. And on the cross, he cries out, my God, why have you abandoned me?" Why does Mark give this image? Because he's writing in about the year 65 in Rome, and Nero is persecuting the Christians. And so he gives them an image of a Jesus who suffers just like they're suffering, and they can identify with him. Matthew, on the other hand, writes in about the year 85. He writes to Jewish people living in present-day Damascus who believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And so Matthew paints a very Jewish Jesus for us. He divides his Gospels into five sections, like the five books of the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. He has Jesus constantly going up on the mountain to get the Beatitudes, up on the mountain for the Transfiguration. He's crucified on Mount Calvary. Why? Because in the Old Testament, you will always go to the mountain to meet God. In Matthew's gospel, Joseph is the more important person, not Mary. It is to Joseph that the angel appears twice, never to Mary, because Matthew is talking to a Jewish audience, and Joseph is the descendant of David. And all through Matthew's gospel, we'll hear him say, as the prophet Isaiah said, he'll quote a prophecy and show how Jesus fulfills it. Luke, on the other hand, writes in about the year 85, but he's writing to Gentiles living in present-day Turkey. They don't know anything about all of this Old Testament or Judaism or Israel. And Luke gives them an all-forgiving Jesus. It's only in Luke that we hear about the prodigal son, the woman caught in adultery, Zacchaeus up in the tree, or the woman known to be a sinner. It's only in Luke that Jesus says on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Luke is telling his audience that Jesus comes to bring salvation not just to the promised people, but to everyone, Jew and Gentile. Now, John, on the other hand, doesn't write his gospel until about the year 125. He gives us a very divine Jesus, a very otherworldly Jesus. John alone uses terms like the Good Shepherd, the way, the truth, the life, etc. Those aren't found in any of the other gospels. And why does John do this? Because two things are happening. Number one, his audience, who are Jewish, are being expelled from the temple. They're being excommunicated because they believe in Jesus. And secondly, those early Christians all believed that the return of Jesus was imminent. And now it's 100 years after his death, and he hasn't returned. And they're confused. And John is telling them in his gospel, don't look to the past for Jesus. Don't look to the future. Look here and now. He's present among us right now. And so each of them give us a different image. And the question to be pondered is, what is your image of Jesus? Amen.